Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
He said he wanted multiple Lombardis with an S to add to the multiple Lombardis with an S he already has. Could it be over? The end of an era for Big Ben in Pittsburgh or in the NFL over the last year or so? You know how cathartic he has been. He has been wide open. The Steelers are wide open saying, we need a salary structure change. You may not fit. We'll talk about it with one of his former teammates, Plexico Burress, coming up in 10 minutes. Plex actually played with Ben two different stints. His early time in Pittsburgh, the 1 year when Ben was a rookie, and then he came back to the Steelers in 2012. Plex's opinion on the biggest story Plex. In the NFL this morning. Like, I know him. I wasn't at the club with Plex like he was, but I was first-name basis. Just saying.
We can neither confirm nor deny.
I happen to be in certain places at certain times, but do you realize how tall Plex is? I'm tall to you, right?
How tall are you, would you say?
I'm 6'4".
6'4".
He's Plex, like 6'7".
Man,
right?
Plex is tall, and he got a long neck. So he's really tall. Like, when I met Plex his rookie, not even his rookie year. He was a senior at Michigan State. He came out to L.A. and came to my restaurant, and I met him at the doorway. I was like, damn, he tall. I mean, he's like, he might be listed at 6'5". But because of that long neck, he got to be 6'6". Easy.
3-inch neck.
See, it's so funny, though. Wow. See, this difference between football and basketball, man. 6'6 ain't tall, though, Key.
No, that's tall. That's tall for a receiver.
Kevin Durant. Ooh. What do you mean? I'm Evan, coming from the guy who's like 5'1".
But well, I'm
short in basketball. I get all that.
You but said guys you're are five, like 7 two? Feet.
Evan's 5'2".
Oh, Evan's 5'2".
Yes, okay. I'm 6'2", yeah, Key. You heard me correctly.
5'5 in the playbook.
No, Jay closer to 5'11 and 3/4".
No, I'm 6'2", man. And Key, you're only about 6'3 and a half.
I'm a 6'4 legit. 6'4 flat. Flat, combine, 6'4".
We'll ask Plex about it. That was almost 20 years ago when he probably walked into your restaurant. We'll ask him about it here in 8 minutes. As I said, late last hour, but of course nobody pays attention to me. I did say one of the most dangerous places on the internet to be. Never mind the dark web. Do not go on the KJC Twitter feed. If you go on the KJZ Twitter feed.
No, go on it.
No, go on that.
We want you to go on. Make your comments.
Embrace
that. Tell us what you really feel.
Evan?
Also put real pictures of yourself up so we can really see what you look like and what state you're from. Okay. Don't just say USA. Tell us the state, the city. We just want to know what we're dealing with.
Right, so not like that fake avatar right. stuff.
Your fake Tinder profile. Whoa, she looks like that.
You mean like OSU Legacy, who his avatar is Beat Michigan.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
So what do you say?
Where are you from?
What do you say?
Well, we know where he's from. He's from Ohio, probably. So he said that earlier we had Chris Canty on like 2 hours ago. He said, and Jay called him CC. He said, CC is Chris Carter, the Hall of Fame wideout. At Real Jay Williams, that's
like
Canty or Chris at Chris Canty 99.
So was Christopher Columbus, was he CC? I'm just curious. Like, what do we call CC Sabathia?
He is the CC. That's his name.
Well, I think
Karsten Charles, but like he's CC.
I think you say CC Sabathia is CC because it's CC Sabathia. Well, CC Chris Carter is nicknamed CC. His name is Chris Carter. There's other CCs. Can you say that Shaq is not the Diesel because John Riggins was the Diesel? No, Shaq's the Diesel, period.
I thought Shaq was Superman.
I was going to go there too. Shaq is Superman. He's the big enchilada. He's whatever you want to call him because he deserved it.
But Shaq was Superman before Cam was Superman. So
before Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
And you can still call Cam Superman if you choose to do so. He got a lot of kryptonite going on right now, but he'll be okay.
And you want to run through a few more?
Let's run through a couple of these. These are athletes who share the same nickname, and you guys have to pick which one is the real. So, like, for example, Pistol. Is it Pete Sampras or Pete Maravich?
Pete Maravich.
I would say
Pistol Pete.
I would say Pistol Pete because I just know Pete Sampras is Pete Sampras.
Yeah. Pistol Pete. Not even a question.
A-Rod. Rodgers, Roddick, Rodriguez.
I would say A-Rod, the baseball player for the Yankees.
True.
Alex Rodriguez.
True Yankees reporting today.
Yeah, I'm with that.
The Rocket,
A-Aaron for
the Rodgers. Rocket, Maurice Richard or Roger Clemens or Rocket Ishmael.
We know Key's going hockey on
that. I would go Rocket Ishmael.
Roger Clemens.
Rocket Ishmael. Because his name, essentially is Rocket Ishmael.
I'm going. Yeah, Clemens.
The
on
missile.
That one.
What was it? The bomb, the missile, and the rocket. Those were all three of them. Remember that, Zubin?
Hey, yes. You can't say those words.
Weapons of mass destruction.
No,
can't say those words.
You can't.
Zubin, you can't say that.
That was their nicknames playing football, man. Stop.
What?
Well, somebody on Twitter certainly will raise that question, I'm sure.
LT, LaDainian Tomlinson or Lawrence Taylor?
That's a good
both
one.
It's more of a Lawrence Taylor.
LT.
It's more of a Lawrence Taylor, but you can get away with LT if you in California, San Diego, TCU, Dallas, Fort Worth area, you can get away with it. But from a just an overall broader perspective, Lawrence Taylor is LT.
Sugar Shane Mosley, Sugar Ray Robinson.
Because I'm
or
younger.
Sugar Ray Leonard.
Because I'm, well, ooh. Okay, Leonard, so yeah. Sugar Ray Leonard then.
Sugar Ray Leonard. Leonard's the one.
Any more?
Is that it, Evan? Is that all got?
Javon Kearse or Tim Lincecum?
Javon Kearse. Yes. Javon Kearse is the freak.
Javon Kearse.
For sure. Yes. We had him in scouting reports as the freak.
No love for big time Timmy Jim. Big Z, Zydrunas Ilgauskas, Carlos Zambrano, or Zubin Mahenty?
Zubin Mahenty, the Big Z. That's Big Zubes. That's not many questions. Stop thinking about it, Key.
No, man, I'm not going to do that.
Here's my thing about Zydrunas Ilgauskas, is I've always thought about this. If you're going by alphabet, somebody brought this up to me. If you're going by, you know, you normally when you're in class, it'll go by last name. Like, you know, it'll be Johnson, Mahenty, Williams, if you're going in alphabetical order. I've always thought if you were going by first name, I had to be last. I mean, who could beat a Z-U? Z-Y. For Zydrunas Ilgauskas, I never thought there'd be a Z-Y. But obviously, as you know, Jay, how much does LeBron love Zydrunas Ilgauskas, right? I mean, so I think he's probably got to win it. LeBron's love for him
puts him over. Who else do you have, Evan? Is that
it? He made Ilgauskas a lot of money there, Zoop.
Is that it,
Well, you
Evan?
Took the Diesel. We had the Diesel, Riggins or Shaq.
Okay. That one is like a landslide. With all due respect, maybe Bram would vote for John Riggins when he was with his last hour.
Knew him as John Riggins or Riggo.
Riggo.
Yeah,
Riggo.
I knew him as Riggo.
Anything else?
The Hammer, Hank Aaron or Dave Hammer Schultz? I think it's
another landslide. Hank,
stop.
Another landslide. What? Got to be Hammer.
Hammer and Hank Aaron, man. Stop it.
Big Dog.
Glenn Rice.
Glenn Robinson. Big Dog,
Rice.
Glenn Robb.
Yeah, Robinson.
Exactly.
Big Dog.
Who's the other one?
Antoine Carr, apparently. Also
the journeyman NBA guy? Okay.
Big Dog, Glenn Robb.
No, Big Dog, Glenn Robb. For sure.
Signed for that big deal in the first draft.
Goose Goslin or Goose Gossage?
Gossage.
There's only one Goose from Top Gun, man.
I'll go Gossage.
Which one had the handlebar?
Gossage, the Yankee, the former Yankee.
Yeah, San Diego Padres.
Just say mustache.
Yeah, that's the one.
Jeez.
No, he had the handlebar, though. Jay had the big handlebar, right?
Big Fu Manchu,
yeah,
the whole thing.
Yeah, the big Fu Manchu,
yeah. Goose Gossage. Yeah,
Come on, man. I was a kid. I watched him on This Is Baseball, man. Come on, stop.
Mel Allen, shout out.
Last one. The Iceman, George Gervin, Bjorn Borg, or Retief Goosen.
I'm surprised you didn't say a rapper.
A Top Gun reference. There's only one Iceman.
One Iceman. I had the poster, man, sitting there with his Air Force Ones with two balls holding it with all iced up.
And the finger roll.
Yeah.
He had the finger roll, too.
But Bjorn Borg, that's a good one, though. I mean, that's a good one. Legendary.
We're not
player.
Talking about Jay international
Will.
Here.
What
about Jay Will? Jay Williams.
Jay Will?
The Jay Williams that I know.
Oh, no. Here we go again.
It's from New Jersey.
Oh, no.
White chocolate.
Our guy.
No, I just said, the one I know is from the Jersey area. That's all I know. That's all I know. And he happened to play basketball.
He happened to do broadcast journalism stuff.
And, he was that's all I know. I just know he was
on the NBA.
Stop taking shots.
On national TV.
Can I say stop taking shots? But that's not what I'm – never mind.
No pun intended. I got you.
Gosh, that's very ID networkish, right? Think about it.
Don't turn me into one of your streaming shows that you just learned how to watch.
No, I'm just saying. Basketball, jersey, TV, NBA. You know what I'm saying?
Checks all the boxes.
All the first-round picks.
Played a short stint with the Nets.
That's very – I need to start digging into that.
Jersey.
Take a look if they got the right guy.
Black mob, Zubin.
Mafia ties, jersey, the whole thing.
betting,
coming together.
Everything.
Role play for AU coach Doc Nicelli. Yeah, New York Broncos. Oh, yeah, I'm seeing similarities.
I feel like they got the wrong guy, Evan.
See, this is the thing. When your name is Jay Williams, it's just there's so many Jay Williams. When you name me, you don't have to worry about
me.
It. Or yeah, if you're Keyshawn or Zubin, you don't have to worry about it. Jay Williams is such a common name.
Now with the Keyshawn is a little bit different.
That's true. Other people name Keyshawn.
Just a ton.
But we call you Meeshawn. You're not Keyshawn.
Meeshawn takes the money and runs.
Yeah, Meeshawn.
Page 52, sports, 52
What's
to
wrong?
55.
It's okay, me. It's okay, me. It's
yeah,
okay,
because it, you know I don't give a damn. It's funny, though, because you get people that has never, ever seen me play, don't know anything about me, and they write articles calling me Meeshawn. It's like, dude, you're like 25. You've never seen me play. You don't know anything about me.
I'm never calling you Key again. The name of this show should be Meeshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Best back page headline you've ever had in New York for the years that you were there. What's I mean, Meeshawn takes the money and run is great.
Meeshawn takes the money and run was
good. With like the sacks of cash?
It was some picture I had on a bunch of stuff, whatever. The one that was hilarious, though, is Keyshawn gives Krabbett the cold shoulder.
Okay, explain this. Wayne Krabbett.
Because I was standing up at my locker. This is my locker. I'm standing up, and Wayne's next to me sitting down. And I'm getting stuff out of my locker. And that was the funny. It's like, what the hell are y'all talking about? I gave him the cold shoulder. But that's the New York Post. That's what they do.
Here headlines. It is. We're actually popping it up on the screen. They said you had a tumultuous relationship with the gritty, undersized, savvy, first one in, last one out. That's what it said. I'm looking at the screen.
Wait, was he disgruntled?
Here's the photo. You see,
look, there it is right there.
Gritty, disgruntled.
Some of the
hard
stuff
to work with.
Oh, man, you name it. Some of the funniest stuff ever. It was like when I first started working at ESPN and I got hired at ESPN coming off the field. And, you know, the first thing people, executives and stuff, they were like walking on eggshells. I'm like, dude, I'm not going to bite your head off. Well, you know, it's like you don't have to worry about what they said about me in some damn newspaper online because that's not who I am. They were just like, hey, can we help you get – no, you don't have to do that. I'm human. I'm normal. Don't worry. It's going to be a hell of a ride.
We're
you
on the
not
way.
Normal.
A hell of a ride, kid. Yeah, to try to crown the Super Bowl 56 champion. Adam Schefter tweeting this morning, whoever does it is going to roll with a salary cap that will be a minimum – this is just breaking this morning – of $180 million. There's some thought the floor could be 175. The minimum will be 180. Key, now the Cowboys and other teams that are looking to spend a huge value this offseason know that the floor is going to be 180.
Okay, so they kind of have an idea of where it's at. Now they can start to talk about conversations. And as you saw earlier this morning, I think it was Phil Yates or someone we were talking to, said that the Cowboys are warming up to the idea of having some discussions with Dak Prescott because this is starting to trickle in now.
Safe to say the Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger are about to have a very serious discussion soon. That's Bob Papa, voice of the New York Giants, one of the legendary catches in franchise history. Plaxico Burress is a Super Bowl champion, of course, with the Giants, but he had two stints with the Steelers in which he played with Ben Roethlisberger both times. It's great to welcome the former wide receiver into Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Plex. I guess I got to ask
up,
you, what up? What do you make of this Roethlisberger thing? Your guy, what's up?
I know, man. You know, so a lot of things going on, but I'm pretty sure the Steelers, they'll get down to the bottom of it pretty soon with Ben and his future. Looking forward.
What's up, Plex?
What's up, Key? What's up, J. Will? What's up, baby?
What's up, baby?
Man,
I'm feeling, man.
Plex, who was a better wide receiver, you or Key?
Stop, man. Don't go there.
I'm just asking
don't
my man.
That.
That's
don't do
this
that,
is my,
man.
This is
don't
my homie.
Do that.
This is my man. I can ask him what I want.
Stop it. What? Me? I'm going to say that. I ain't scared of Key. What you mean?
Ooh, I love it. Ooh. I love it.
What you talking about? I was a better receiver. I ain't going to say he was better than me.
You're not supposed. Don't listen. One thing you must do, Plex, is understand who Jason Williams is from New Jersey.
Who am I, Key?
Trust me, I understand quite well who he is. He went to Duke, so that right there in itself says enough about him.
What are you? And I know you when you're looking at the situation with Big Ben, man, and everything right. That is transpiring with the Pittsburgh Steelers. What should they do at quarterback. And I know you played with Ben twice, and you won with Ben, and he helped you in your career and all those things. But what should they do at this stage of his career?
You know, man, I think in a tough situation, you know, with Ben, I think he's going to make $40 million this year going into the season with the salary cap things that's going on. And Pittsburgh is what, I think they're like $22 million already over the cap. And, Ben came out and said, you know, a few weeks ago that he's willing to take a pay cut to come back and play. But, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. And them signing Dwayne Haskins tells me that, you know, they don't expect him to come in and start and be under center this season. They want him to come in and learn under Ben, you know, but, you know, learn how to be a professional, get tutelage under Ben, and then he will be starting, I would assume, in the following year. But, you know, looking forward. And with Marquise Pouncey just retiring, you know, all those things are working together. So I do believe that Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin will allow Ben to come back and play his final year of his contract out. But I don't believe that it will be at the $40 million price.
If you're a big Ben Plex, do you hang him up, bronze those cleats? Do you go to another franchise chasing another ring, or you just say, you know what, I had a great run, it's over with?
No, I don't think Ben's ready to quit. I really believe that. You know, knowing him and understanding how competitive he is, I don't think that he's ready to hang it up and quit. But I also think that he should finish his career in Pittsburgh. With that being said, I think he'll be on the center for one more season, but I don't see him, you know, entering into free agency or whatever the case may be, or seeking a trade to chase another ring. He's a two-time world champion, but I honestly believe that he will finish his career in Pittsburgh, however that may happen.
Plex, you know, there's been so much that's been made about all this player empowerment movement in the NFL, players like Deshaun Watson and Matthew Stafford trying to get out of bad situations. What's your take on everything that's currently happening?
I think that the players are starting to understand their worth and their value as players, and speaking up and having a voice about their careers and, voicing their opinions. And I think they're also tearing a page out of the book as far as the NBA players. So, I love it. I'm all in favor for players, you know, having a voice and speaking up and try to have some input about what they think and try to get a handle on their careers. I mean, I love what the guys are doing. They understand who they are, and they understand their worth and their value to these organizations. And if they're in bad situations, I've always been an advocate for guys speaking up and saying, listen, if a player doesn't want to be there as an owner, as an organization, you should let that man go. I've always said that. And I think you're starting to see that now more in the NFL, because it's been going on in the NBA for a long time.
Plex, speaking of letting go or determining whether he's going to be the guy or not, is Daniel Jones the guy to lead the Giants?
Tough question, man. You know, he's only played 2 years. So it's tough to really say if he's the future of the New York Giants. You know, you just look at what he's been able to accomplish over the last 2 years, which hasn't been a lot. He doesn't have a lot to work with offensively. Saquon going down and OBJ getting traded to Cleveland. I think that, you know, you just assess him and evaluate him looking forward as this year comes forward. But you just really can't sit down and say that he's our guy and he's the future of the New York Giants. They took a chance and they drafted a high on the board. So they have to go out there, play him, and see what they can get.
Plexico Burress, former New York Giants Super Bowl champion, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. J. Will wanted me to say my understudy, but I wasn't going to do that. so, crazy, Plex, man. when you look at the New York Jets and you look at where they're at the quarterback spot with Sam Darnold, trying to figure out what they want to do with him, even though they really haven't surrounded him with anything, let alone a big-time wide receiver. What should they do?
I think the New York Jets are in a tough situation. You know, I really believe that, you know, they want Sam Darnold to be their quarterback. But just like you said, if you're a quarterback and you can't protect him, you know, I don't care how good he is. You know, he's not going to play well. And then you're really not giving him any weapons so he can go out and be as good as you want him to be. I honestly think that they're going to draft a quarterback and try to trade Sam Darnold, because I don't think that they believe in him and he's the future of this franchise. But with that being said, whoever you bring in there, you've got to give that quarterback somebody to play with, or just, you know, it's just a, you know, it's just a cycle just that's just going to keep going.
Plex, thank you so much for joining us today, taking us on a trip down memory lane and really taking us inside the psyche of Big Ben. You're one of the first people that's really come on this morning and definitively said, listen, I know he's old, he's a little broken down, he's been cathartic the last couple of years, but Ben Roethlisberger really continues to want to play football, just not at the financial clip that they're hoping for. Great to catch up, Plex. Thanks, man.
All right, man. Tell the fam I said what's up.
Bet.
Thanks, Plex.
That's Plexico Burris joining us on the Goodyear Hotline.
I forgot Plex was brought to the Giants to help a young Eli Manning. Mm-hmm. Like, I forgot. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I knew he was at the Giants of Pittsburgh, but as I started thinking about Sam, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's right. They went out and got Plexico so he could be a force with Amani Toomer to help out a young Eli Manning.
You've always said it. I mean, what would you do if Sam had a weapon, right? And that's essentially what you broached here with Plexico Burris, and we'll see. That's a huge question for the Jets. Maybe the bigger question is, will Sam be their quarterback? We'll see. It's going to be fascinating on the way to the draft, April 29th. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline. Still to come, it's a trend that's starting in one sport. It's happening at the worst possible time, and some would say it's maddening. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Dame walks it across the timeline. The shot clock at 18. Blazers down one. Dame takes off, dribbles, drives. He's bumped. He throws it up and banks it in. Damian Lillard has an opportunity for a three-point play as he gives the Blazers the lead with 16 and a half seconds remaining.
All-star or all-world? Courtesy of Rip City Radio 620, Damian Lillard with a stat line. You got to see it. 43 and 16 dimes. And they needed practically everything to get past the Pelicans 126-124. The Blazers have won six in a row. Tim Tebow's baseball career has come to an end. Obviously, he's got so many other things going on. You know, he was in the New York Mets organization, invited to spring training. His dream was to make the bigs after being one of the greatest college football players of all time. He finishes with 77 games, got to the AAA level a couple years ago, hit 163, four home runs. But as I've said a couple different times this morning, as athletes, we can only dream to be what Key and Jay and Tim Tebow were. Exhaust every last moment. Love it. You got to move on at some point. But while you can, keep playing. Black history always. Today, with pitchers and catchers starting to report. 14 yesterday, I saw on SportsCenter. We're all over the Yankees camp this morning. If you're a Yankee fan, tune on over to SportsCenter. We honor the Pittsburgh Pirates on September 1st, 1971. They fielded Major League Baseball's first all-black or Latino starting lineup led by the late great Roberto Clemente, Willie Stargell. They beat the Phillies 10-7. A few weeks later, they won the whole thing, the World Series. And SportsCenter brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Spend your tax return wisely with Straight Talk Wireless. You can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for $199. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense. Tune in to Straight Talk. We'll see what happens if 2021's tournament ends the way, I don't know, 2016 or 2018 did. I'm sure our next guest will absolutely love it. He is Villanova head coach Jay Wright. We're less than 1 month away from Selection Sunday.
JW.
JW. Jay always going with the nicknames. JW this time. CC, JW. Jay Wright joins us this morning on the Goodyear Hotline. Jay, I want to ask you this. We had one of your old colleagues, Seth Greenberg, on, our ESPN college basketball analyst. And the day after the Jalen Johnson situation at Duke where he opted out, one of the things that really stuck with me was when Seth said, "You mark my words, this ain't the first and this ain't going to be the last." The very next day, the day after Greenberg said it, there's a young kid at Cincinnati named Zach Harvey that did the exact same thing and opted out. It's the biggest event. We're nearing the conclusion of the season where everyone starts paying attention to college basketball. Coach, the opting out, I know it's the coronavirus. It's a weird year unlike any other. Is there any level of concern that this could start to be like a college football thing where people opt out of bowl games if there's not enough on the line? As a guy that's won multiple chips, what do you think about that?
Well, first of all, good morning, guys. It's good to be on with you guys.
Hey. Good morning, Coach.
I love the crew, man. You know what? It is going to be an issue going forward. I do think the NBA has just done such an incredible job. I think they are the master marketing machine in our world. And these kids are so enamored, and it's such a great opportunity for them. There is going to continue to be a balance in college basketball of understanding for us, you know, as coaches, which guys on your team have that ultimate goal in being a pro, and that's going to be their decision-making process, or guys that really just love being a part of a team and want to be pros and will play it through. And you've just got to know who's who, and you got to respect each guy's, each guy's right to make that decision and to take their own path.
Coach, this has been one hell of a year for you guys. I mean, you've had 13 games either postponed or canceled typically at this juncture of the season, Jay. Again, you guys are 22, 23 games deep in. How difficult is that, especially with the Big East tournament coming up, people talking about opting out, it being in New York City? How are you managing all that together?
You know, Jay, it's hard to say, you know, what we're doing. It's hard to use the term difficult, you know, if we're talking basketball, you know, yeah, it's difficult. But, you know, when you look at what's going on in the world and, you know, what everybody's going through with this virus, I think most of us feel really fortunate that we're playing. I know the players feel, you know, really grateful to be able to play. Like, there's so many situations where we've been in quarantine three different times, and one time we were quarantined back to back for 23 days where we were in quarantine for like 11 days. We came out one day of practice, two guys tested positive. We went back into quarantine. It was brutal, but I keep asking the guys, if anybody wants to opt out, I get it. This is incredible. And if anybody wants to go home, I get it. We'll work a way to get you back. And they all say to me, like, "Hey, Coach, we were home all spring. We were home all summer. We'd still rather be here, you know, at least having a chance to play." So it's just it really has been tough in as a coach. You know, you're watching your guys in February and you're looking and seeing, like, we are not anywhere close to where we should be at this time of year. And even individual guys, you're looking and saying, "Damn, if we could have worked with him all summer, all fall, you know, he would have been in a different spot." So you're frustrated with that, but you just got to move on and accept it, you know. So it's just a really strange year.
Yeah, but I love this time of the year because this is when everybody gets a chance to know the names that matter in college basketball. One of those names is Jeremiah Robinson Earl, and there's no doubt he's very important. But, Coach, how important is Colin Gillespie to your squad, a senior in the midst of everything going on who understands your system and understands how to be an extension of you on the floor?
Yeah, you're such a point guard, man. Ain't chance you get to hype up those point guards.
You know it, man.
I know. That was like you on our USA team with the crazies we had, man. You had to keep them all in order.
I'm doing it here with Keyshawn, too, Jay. It's the same thing.
Yeah. I hear you. That's what Colin does for us. But, first of all, Jeremiah Robinson is awesome. And he's one of those guys. Like I'm sure at the end of this year he'll be a first-round pick or early second-round pick, something like that. But because he's improved so much and he's talented. And he's one of those guys, like, you just wish you could have had him all summer and all fall because he's developed so much. But Colin is the guy, thank God, that we've had him here for 3 years. And not having him in the summer and the fall, he still knows everything we're doing. And even, you know, at times when those guys were just working out by themselves, he was like a coach. You know, when none of us were there, they were, you know, even in the summer here in Philly, he'd get a bunch of the guys together in a gym and you know, coach them up. And so he still does that on the floor for us. He can score. He's really the most valuable player on our team because he makes everybody better and he runs the show.
Coach, describe to us how difficult it's been, buddy, for you and the rest of college basketball to just keep everything going.
Yeah, you know what? That's what I was trying to say earlier, Keyshawn. It is difficult, but you hate to complain about it, given what everybody else is going through. But it's really tough on these kids, man. Like, just imagine when we were all in college, like, they can't see their girlfriends. They can't see their families. Like, they're literally locked in. They really are. And you know, I know a lot of guys say, like, come on, man, they're sneaking their girls in. Like, if they were, they'd be testing positive, you know? And the problems that we had, like, we had some times here on campus where we were having we had 75 positive tests a day on campus. So, you know, we were telling our guys, man, you got to stay away from everybody, you know, and they're not going to class. You know, everything's virtual online. They're locked in their rooms. When we go to hotels on the road, like, we're going up and down stairs and back hallways and, you know, it's crazy, man. But as you guys know, they love to play. And every time I sit down with them, because I'm watching it, I'm thinking, this is crazy. I know when I was in college, I couldn't have done this. And I'll say to them, like, guys, are you okay? Like, are we? And they'll say, like, yo, coach, we just want to play, man. They love playing so much. And it's kind of cool because, you know, to make a reference to the Allen Iverson great quote of practice, like, you know, we're talking about practice. Like, these guys actually love practice now because it just gives them a chance to get out of their rooms and be around each other, you know, and get on the court. So practices have actually been even more enjoyable than ever.
Tell you, you started the season out in that Bubbleville, and now you're headed to a bubble in Indianapolis for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And we can only hope, like I said, 2016, maybe the greatest finish in the history of the sport. 2018, one of the most dominant teams we've seen over the last 25 years using the three ball. Can't wait to see if it'll be a third championship for Jay Wright to add to the one that his mentor Raleigh brought back in the 80s. Great to catch up with you this morning, Coach. Thank you.
Good luck, Coach.
You too,
appreciate
guys.
You, man.
Right. Good talk to you guys. Take care.
Same to you. That's Villanova head coach Jay Wright, brought to you by Wendy's, proud sponsor of the 2021 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year, which, of course, Jay won in 2002. They've been handing out the men's award since 1977, and I think it's a great note that the women's award has been handed out every year since 2004 to honor the both best men's and women's players in college basketball. On the way, an all-star snub that is going to be rectified tonight in the NBA. That's when Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin returns.
Thursday on Greeny, NBA Legends Week continues with the one, the only, Patrick Ewing. We'll talk basketball with him, football with Lewis Riddick, and a whole lot more. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
You looking forward to that drive home, Key? We just took a look at an exterior shot of what it looks like right outside the South Street Seaport studio here.
Maybe
does
I could
not
be
look
a,
good.
Maybe I would be a malcontent.
What do you mean?
Nothing.
Well, you're disgruntled.
Disgruntled.
You're gritty.
Mad employee because it's snowing, you know.
And you're also the president of the company. So, I mean, you can dictate whether we have off tomorrow or not.
I'm a bad employee. That's all I know.
Your commute isn't terrible, though. Your commute isn't terrible, though.
Prima donna.
Prima donna
is the word you're looking for. Prima donna.
Yeah. As I would tell anybody, I've been working since 1996. I obviously am not a prima donna or a malcontent.
Wide Rediva.
Wide Rediva.
Yes. If Key was a good teammate.
Me, Sean.
If Key was a good teammate, he'd offer me a ride home because I have to walk home in this. But he has not offered yet.
Nope.
Every time I offer you something, you never take it. Hey, Zubin, want to go to dinner? Well, I got to go out here. I got to do this. I got to do it. Hey,
that
Zubin,
is not how Zubin talks.
Well, not exactly, but you know.
I'm gonna rough it.
I know what I need to start doing, though, Zubin.
Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin Agon, do you want to go to dinner with me?
Oh, that's messed up.
And my favorite team, the Sixers, Jay. I mean, Nagandi loves the Sixers. And the big Sixers guy, Jay's hot on the – Jay loves Embiid. I got to get on board.
And then again, before Zubin goes on to the last word, is I know he's not Kevin Nagandi. It's an inside joke with us, so don't tweet at us.
As I've said before, I wish I had Nagandi's hair.
It's not inside anymore, is it? It's an outside joke now.
That's fair.
You're right, he's a Nishiroff.
I've got to test my hand to play.
Hey, Evan, you're feeling way too comfortable here, okay?
Wow.
I feel comfortable saying this. And, Jay, you know this, so I'm not going to have you answer. So I'm going to have Key answer this. Take a guess, Key. Mm-hmm. And Jay's been talking up this guy for weeks, and you know, obviously he's the NBA guy. How many points per game do you think last season Bradley Beal averaged? Washington Wizards superstar. How many points per game?
19.
Higher.
19. Come on, Key.
24.
Higher.
29?
Higher.
Oh, no, man. Come on, man.
Keep going, Key. He's a walking bucket.
31?
30.5. Do you know last year, despite averaging 30.5 points per game?
Huh?
He averaged 30.5 points per game last season. You want another huh? He did not make the All-Star team.
Ridiculous.
30.5 did not make the All-Star team.
But here's what I would ask you. When did he catch fire? After the All-Star break?
I mean,
so no,
they
right?
weren't good at all. I mean they
he was on the whole year.
But when did he catch fire? Because, you know, course of the season, right, Jay? Average it all the way out. Did he catch fire like that right at after the All-Star voting, something like that?
He's been putting up buckets since day one. But, you know, you didn't have John Wall last year. They were at the bottom of the East. It was Bradley Beal against everybody every single night.
So I went low just how you preferenced that to me. So I'm like, it's got to be like a trick. You know, it's like 30.
And there's my point. Bradley Beal has been an all-star in the NBA two times. Tonight he's going to be a third. Tonight, the reason I'm bringing this up this morning is tonight on TNT, they're going to name the all-star starters. And if you take a look at the voting, the fans are paying attention. And obviously the people that love the NBA like Jay. He's been among the leading vote getters in the Eastern Conference at the guard position, which sometimes is weird because it's a popularity contest and he plays in Washington and he could be traded and the Wizards aren't great. But the fans are paying attention. Okay, here we go. How many points per game is Bradley Beal averaging this year?
32.8.
Yeah. Tonight, Jay, we're going to write a wrong. And this guy, we already know he's going to be an all-star starter because of the way essentially the fan voting is gone. But tonight, he is going to get his due. And if you guys said Damian Lillard is underrated, and we had that argument earlier this morning, I put Bradley Beal right in that conversation.
Well, I would say Bradley Beal. I would say Bradley Beal is underrated, but I don't think Dame is underrated. I don't. I mean, I know everything about Dame. And maybe it's because I'm a West Coast guy and I pay attention to Portland and I know who Dame, you know, I know who Bradley Beal is, but when you think about Washington, not very good, right?
Right.
So you're like, 30 points.
Been a good soldier.
Been
stuck
a good
out,
guy,
though.
Hadn't said anything. You
the
know.
Thing, though, he hasn't had John Wall for a while. This year he has Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook hasn't been playing that great, even though he's been playing slightly better lately. But, you know, Dame had a way better team, right? Like, I mean, I say it again. It was only a couple of years ago they got to the Western Conference Finals. And this has been one of the biggest stories following Bradley Beal. That's why he's one of the most sought after pieces to a championship team, because they have not been able to get out of the bottom of the East. That's a problem. He's never had a wingmate that's been healthy.
I got to ask you this, Jay, because you're talking about the bottom of the East, but tonight the Nets, who are hovering near the top of the East, it's 30 games in now.
Isn't that crazy, Zubin? For all the talk we've said about the Nets, they're like second in the East.
Yes. I mean, right now in the East, you got to look at it from the standpoint of, you know, the Sixers are sitting there at 19-10. The Nets are 18-12. So we're 30 games into the Steve Nash tenure. They've won four in a row. They're playing well. I just wonder, because tonight they're taking on Keys Lakers, and even though Vogel has been an NBA head coach at numerous stops, there was that sort of like, let's wait and see what Vogel does with this team, right? People were like, I'm not really sure about Vogel, and he proved himself and did a great job. Obviously, he's got a ton of a pedigree that Nash doesn't on the bench. How would you evaluate, Jay, when Kyrie said, we don't need a coach, we're all the coach, the Harden drama, Durant being sidelined twice, the contact tracing, how would you size up for a guy that's never been on an NBA bench, how he's handled the first 30 games?
I think he's done well. He's done well because he has an experienced staff. He has Mike D'Antoni on his staff. Mm-hmm. He has Jacques Vaughn on the staff that has had history with the Nets and Kyrie from last year. Look, they are second place in the East, and my thing is, they need to continue to get better. Now, we'll see if they're able to pull off this potential Andre Drummond trade, if they're able to find a way to do that. It's in the buyout market, whatever the situation is. But they also gotten some decent, you know, defensive pieces. I'm not saying they're going to be the difference maker, but Iman Shumpert, you know, Noah Vonleh they were able to get. So I think that helps them defensively. But I think they're in a really good position.
Key, what do you think tonight? Shorthanded Lakers, shorthanded Nets. Finals preview?
What do you think?
I'm just wanted to throw it
I'm
out.
I'm asking you, what do you
well,
think?
Well, I think you have to look at it objectively.
Okay, just tell me.
I think you're going to go Lakers, but I think you're going to learn something about the Nets tonight. As I mentioned, probably Durant won't go. AD certainly won't go. But I think there's something here. This could be the first of, I don't know, maybe seven. We see him seven times later.
You do understand there's nothing to learn other than the Lakers are going to take care of business tonight.
Jay?
Hey, tonight's game doesn't matter in the big scheme of things, but man. Look, it's still a big matchup because you have LeBron James, and even if KD isn't playing, you got James Harden on the floor.
I think KD. Hey, look, Jay Will, I think KD's scared.
You did call him soft earlier this morning.
I think he's scared, man. I don't think he want to play with the Lakers. I think he's spooked.
Man, kid, you be saying some wild stuff.
You know, I know that that's not true, right?
More of a litmus test for who? Let's just put it that way. More of a litmus test. So I'll learn tonight knowing they're not fully loaded.
I would say it's just probably more for the Lakers, just because this is really the first time that they've had to face the Nets, even if KD didn't play,
right,
that they've had to face them without AD. Yeah. Unless this is the first real team, so to speak. I know they played Minnesota. They beat Minnesota. But this is the first
it's
test.
Not Minnesota.
Huh?
In Minnesota, they don't count.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm like. It's Minnesota. So
Andre
Roberson, First real team.
Andre Roberson just got picked up. He's a huge defensive stopper for the Nets.
Stop bullying me, Jay Will. You're a bully.
Mike Greenberg's Nest. We'll see
takes one to know one.